order, please? Can we have a roll call?
Kurt Olsted, Tracy Carlucci, here, Tim Doherty.
You're coming down the hall.
Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holterway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
James Manzucci.
Here.
Paul Richo.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Jack Schreier. James Fizioli.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
Kurt Olsted.
Here.
And Tim Doherty.
He may be late. How does on time know the man? Your radio.
Oh, that's bad. You put it on back there.
Now, this meeting was called in accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act published in the newspapers and records of the House.
Will you please rise and pledge allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Call for a motion on approval of the October 13th minutes, please.
So move.
Second. Motion and second, any discussion? Roll call.
Councilmember Olsted.
Yes.
Councilmember Carlucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holterway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Manzucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Richo.
Yes.
Councilmember Fizioli.
Abstain.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Ryan.
Yes. I'd like to call for a motion for the approval of the HCC Bank Statement of October 26th.
So move.
Second. Your motion and second, any discussion, questions?
Chair, can I just say that we did, staff revised, just to make it clear, on the two offers that were made, we had listed the number of HCCs, which everybody knows, well, the HCC applies to £16,000 per credit, but what we did is we just added to the minutes what that actually equates to, just to make it crystal clear. So in the case of the first property, the value was £672,000, that was 42 HCCs, and the second property, the value was £268,000. So that was just staff revisions to the minutes to make that very clear. So I want to let everybody know they were amended. They are in your packet.
Thank you, Ms. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsted?
Yes.
Councilmember Bluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holterway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Manzucci?
Yes.
Councilmember Richo?
Yes.
Councilmember Fizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes. Chair's report, I was going to report on the HCC Bank meeting that we did make two offers for 10 acres and 43 acres. Dollars and credits were listed in the minutes. This evening, right before this meeting, we had a budget meeting, which Mr. Holterway will go over shortly. Other than that, I don't really have anything else. Actually, one other thing, I think. I mentioned a couple meetings ago about working on getting a secure area on the website for information that we can get sooner than it being posted to the public.
Yes, we can do that. And what we'll do is we'll send council members a link. This is just to have any confidential materials before they go public. What Chairman Riley asked me to do is have a site where you could all go and review materials so that you could get sort of a jump ahead. And stuff, because we know that we send you volumes of material a week ahead of the meeting. So we'll start posting them and we'll send you a link so that you can go to that site.
One last thing on the HCC. Their fourth round deadline for submission is December 29th. Next up, we have the Audit Evaluation Committee. Carlucio?
We deferred that.
Okay. Budget Finance. We went over the budget meeting, we should discuss, it's being consistent in our day and age, is that budgets are flat, everything's flat. We have had some personnel changes, and that continues to move around. Over the budgets for fiscal year 12, it was in the sixth of 11. So, and things moved around, you've had some cost ups and cost went down. However, it is flat, so my municipality as well.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, I'll take into consideration resolution approval of the Highland Council fiscal year 2012 general operating budget. I guess I'll open it up to the public first. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard in reference to the fiscal year 2012 council budget? Yes, sir.
David Schoep, does the salary line include benefits? If not, why not? And please calculate the value of benefits as far as the salary package for a full of
their line item is just for their salary, not the
not benefits. Okay, the benefits are worth something. I, as a taxpayer, pay for them. I'd like to know what they're worth.
Yeah,
but
if you would have to count it.
I beg your pardon?
You don't have that information at this moment.
I'm making a request. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I beg your pardon?
I didn't hear what you said.
Well, I think I'm making a request for that information. Not necessarily this minute, but it is available. Typically, it can be determined as a percentage of salary. This is 35 to 50%.
Yeah,
and that's the Department of Treasury. They maintain that part of our budget.
Very good. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on the budget? Being none. Councilor, can I get a motion?
I love it.
Okay. And a second discussion.
Yeah, I have a question. The competency training license, is that your competency training that are not required to obtain a license? Or credential that is mandatory for someone to hold a position?
It is for mandatory training, but it may also include a conference that isn't mandatory.
Your subscription membership, the licenses for their subscription to membership organizations are not required, similarly to the end of the conference.
I'm not sure if we have any that aren't required. And we have requirements for the attorneys and for the planners. I'm not aware of any that we have that are required.
Required.
I'm sorry? It includes the refreshments for the council members, yes.
In my own county, we have eliminated those expenditures from our budget, and I would be encouraged by the virtual group here about this period in my own county. We actually discussed that 4 years in a row. So I'll be voting on the budget, and I would expect to come along the same austerity measures we've done in our county, but I would be encouraged by the issue.
If I can just let the council know that, just to be very clear on this, so everybody knows, this is the only thing we provide to the council members before meetings are sandwiches, and we have attempted to make sure that this is done very efficiently from a cost perspective. We get the sandwiches from the local shop, right, instead of any of the other establishments in Chester, which are, I think, more expensive, and we provide soda and we provide cookies for the council members. That is all that is provided for council members. I was just saying, Councilman Wolf, I just want to remember
that. I think these are extreme, you know, but that's what we've got to do.
Right.
Tom?
You mentioned the process of staffing down. Now, in 2012 budget, there's a combination to rehire,
what's happened is there's a temporary part-time position that's being made a full-time position, and also the communications director who's not there, there's still money in the salary. Would that be back? That's been authorized. Would that be authorized and process of money for the application? So staff now full-time, stay?
Yes, it remains the exact same. There are no new positions being created.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, hopefully, I guess my question, not knowing if this discussion should be in executive session or not, rather than the personnel and things are, as a general question, are we positioned staff-wise, personnel-wise, to meet our demands coming up through the first half anyway of 2012?
At this stage, we, again, the part-timer will get a full-timer, which is new practice. And the communications officer was approved, out of trend. There are two retirees, one that's not being put into July, I believe, June or July.
Yeah.
And the other one just retired this week.
Correct. Not retired, but actually
okay, so I guess maybe I'll ask that question again. Are we positioned to handle our workload appropriately through the first half of 2012? I think I heard you say yes, we are. But I heard Mrs. Swan say that our staff remains the same now as it was.
I have to remember what we're doing now is we're transitioning. Years we were. Plan was down, where I was here, plan was being developed. Now we've gone from plan development to implementation. And skill sets are slightly different. Staff has been shifting. I mean, had more lawyers before, now we're going to have more planners. We're trying to get through this kind of stuff. So, while the number of positions is similar, it's not exact. The mix is changing to adapt to that changing work.
To further answer the question, the council is approved for 23 full-time positions. Just as we're very clear, as we talked about a change from a part-time person to a full-time, that is backfilling an existing full-time position, so there are no new full-time positions. And then in terms of for next year, we will be down, as the chairman explained, that the person has left the employment of the council. That one we have to request the backfill for that position. Is it a critical one? Yes, it will be one that will be managing the designation of the seating areas and other planning area functions, because the council can expect new work in terms of development applications coming in, because now municipalities are doing checklist ordinances. So, and it's going to be very time-sensitive work. So that position, and then the other position, which is the retirement of Dr. Dan Van Ass. Most sad for us from the council and the staff because of his absolutely incredible technical knowledge and experience in terms of water and wastewater. So a critical position, but we're holding on to him for another 6 months, and we're working for all his work. Which is nothing unusual, frankly. So that's the other position, but we've got some time on that. So those would be the two positions. So if those are filled, then we are at full complement of full-time staff.
Will those two be within our budget and so on? So
oh, yeah, that's
it will be within
our budget. Everything we've spoken about so far is covered.
Knowing this council the way I do, I just threw that out there as the information type thing. But I guess, is there anything that this council has to do to ensure that the appropriate people are hired, even though it's within our budget restraints and all of those kinds of things? The governor's office can say, hey, no, just hang on to it, I believe.
we are required to get authority because since at least 2006, there has been a hiring freeze at government level. So any of the departments of government or authorities are required to get a waiver to backfill those positions. So,
by the way, which multiple governments.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So for those two positions, we will have to go through that process.
I guess that would lead me to ask another question. What is your degree of confidence, I guess, that these waivers will be approved? Jim?
I don't think we can answer that question. But frankly, I don't like answering that question. But I'm not going to say.
No, I understand.
That's the discussion over this was the more recent issue, but how the next retirement in July happens.
And that current vacancy. But what we can say, we will keep you updated on our progress and let you know that we have already alerted the governor's office to, and we've sent in a request for the one that is vacant as of this moment. And we've alerted them to the fact that we will be moving down. So we can keep you in the loop.
I think our agency is trying to do a good job at keeping the skill sets of what's required moving forward. As Bob was saying,
the mix, if you had a representative. I understand. I just raising a concern that I have relative to budgets. Every town has them, those kinds of things. I'm sure the state does as well, continues. But that's what I think the budget is from. Council in a position where things are delayed and we're moving back burner. I think that used to take a month or so, now we're taking 6 months to get it done. Concerning.
We'll be faithful to that, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Thank you.
Any other comment? As minor as it may seem, I actually agree with Bob. We don't have anything in my county or local here. I'm not sure if it's enough for me to vote down the budget at this point in time, but maybe it's something we can address. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holthaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Banducci?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
No.
Chairman Ryan?
Yes. Next up, consideration of resolution, approval of the 2012 annual meeting schedule. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on our meeting? Seeing none. Can I get a motion, please?
That's a good move.
I'll second that. You found some
problems.
In discussion on the meeting dates, I have seen all the correspondence, but for the most part, everybody was comfortable with the dates and such. And I consolidated in November, so. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holthaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Banducci?
Yes.
Councilmember
Richo?
Yes.
Councilmember
Vivioli?
Yes.
Councilmember
Walton?
Yes.
Chairman
Ryan?
Yes.
Next up, we have the executive director's report.
Ms. Long. Thank you very much. Just briefly, an update on the past performance. So as the public are aware, this will be on the website, so you can check it out. The update is that we're making progress with the municipalities that have petitioned for conformance. 53 have been deemed administratively complete. These ones that are on the slide are those that have been approved at prior council meetings. Most importantly, today you will be considering four municipalities: Washington Township Warren, which is conforming for both preservation and planning area. And the other three municipalities are Alamuti Township, Edminster Township, and the borough of Mount Arlington, all conforming for their preservation area. This will bring, if you approve those petitions today, it will bring the approvals up to 37 of the 60 petitions, which would equate to 73% of those petitions that are complete. And just to let you know what's in the pipeline, as you know, this is a process, and so the draft consistency reviews are out to the following municipalities: townships of Alexandria, Montville, Randolph, Roxbury, Parsippany, Troy Hills, and Union, and the boroughs of Oakland and Far Hills. So those are the ones that we can expect to be coming forward at upcoming meetings. A quick look back in time, this is the mapping. Again, we keep this current on our website, and I'll quickly go through this. The dark blue are the petitions approved for the presentation area. The lighter blue are for planning area. The green is showing you preservation area lands. The yellow are those planning area petitions that have come in for those under the voluntary nature of planning area. And as we move through, there are additional petitions that have come in during this period. So you'll see, bringing us up to date today, if four municipalities go through today, that is what the conformance map will look like. See, in terms of those municipalities that have conformed, the ongoing work, in bold here, you will see the additional municipalities that have done their planning area petition ordinances, which is a requirement under the law: Alpha Borough, Bethlehem Township, Holland Township, Lebanon Borough. These have all done their petitions most recently. And you can also see the towns that have done their master plan re-exam. Checklist ordinance, no change since the last meeting. We're working with a number of municipalities. The environmental resource inventories, Highlands master plan elements, and the Highlands land use ordinance. We'll keep you updated on these. And also, Passaic County, which is, has taken the lead in terms of counties, they've approved the Highlands DRI master plan, Highlands elements, and the land development and land facilities regulations. In terms of keeping up with the grant program, we just report out to you the grant program had a range from $50,000 to $100,000 for the initial seven modules under plan conformance. The average to date of those municipalities is $64,404. So it lets you know that they're staying right within that range. The municipalities that have gone through the petition for plan conformance and the work that's undergoing, this shows you the average amount awarded and the number of municipalities that are working on Highland Central Redevelopment Planning, Sustainable Economic Development Planning, Wastewater Management Plan, Stream and Lake Protection Plan, Water Use and Conservation Management Plan, Habitat Conservation and Management Plan, Agricultural Retention and Farm Preservation Plan. We expect to be bringing to you next year models for the Water Use and Conservation Management Planning and the Habitat. So more work is continuing. That brings us then to the next item, Mr. Chair, on the agenda.
Prior to going there, I inadvertently skipped an item here. Did any council members have anything they wanted to support the
government? Happy birthday to your wife.
I just have a question. We're in December now, and we've been averaging 3 or 4 conformances a month. I want you to kind of look in your crystal ball, and a year from now, perhaps calculating 3 times 12, 36, if that continues, we should be just about finished. How about maybe you could elaborate or give us an indication of what's coming up in the next couple of months, if that's possible, as far as, you know, the number of
I would anticipate there's a couple of things. One is, when we send out that draft consistency review report, the municipalities have a municipal response time. Some ask for extensions. So there is the possibility, you know, I can't guarantee when they'll be on the agenda. It depends on their timing, when they're ready. And if they want, you know, if at that point we'll know what the future is. I did provide for you a sort of an update in the report in terms of which towns we can expect and where they are in the process. So in the municipal review period currently is Montville, Randolph, and Oakland. The review is going out in November. We anticipate Union, Alexandria, Roxbury, Vernon will be in December, Greenwich in December, Clinton Township in December, Independence in December, Harmony in December, and then there are a bunch of municipalities that are completing their petitions, so we're sort of waiting for them to do so. We would anticipate that if everybody does the work that's laid out, that next year should complete at least the petitions that are in-house. There is the opportunity in the future that other municipalities may choose to come in, some may amend for the planning area, which is the trend we've seen. But at the same time, then we'll be moving forward on the planning elements that towns are required to do, having gone through the petition process. So we're hoping to maintain the level that we've been doing today.
What Jim brought up before about the staffing level, it's so important to keep that in mind when we're moving forward. It seems like if there's a lot on the plate, we need to have the proper staff to help you have the issue for it.
Well, I can say that without a full complement of staff, we would have to adjust the work schedule to reflect that. Things like these wastewater management plans, towns are asking to be prioritized for them. And we have 32. And basically one person writing up the narrative of that, then it goes through a review in staff, and of course it goes through a review at the town level, and then it has to go through the Department of Environmental Protection review. But absent the staff, yes, the workload would shift, and I'll report out to you on how we would reschedule and reprioritize.
Staff is something that's not at every level of state, county, and local government. I know our local police force is 48, 42, and I don't think law enforcement is any less important than any other venue in the government. Any other items?
Yeah, I'd like to point out to the council that, of course, you know there's a state procedure that's driven by development and redevelopment. Previous 300-page state plan that is from a 40-page state plan in draft form was fully expected to be approved. It has a lot of targeted economic growth, a lot of growth areas that are focused on by the state's master plan. And one of the components, interestingly enough, is going to be receiving zones and hunting zones. That is going to be important criteria when the strategic decisions are made. On development that's going to be allowed. Now, one question is to a lot of folks in Brentwood, where do we fit in with that? How does the Highland Regional Master Plan, the Byron Master Plan, and the Meadowlands Master Plan, which are pretty decent master plans, how did it fit with the new strategic plan? Which, by the way, I'm investigating is controversial because there's a lot of environmental impacts that are affected when you start making development decisions based on economic criteria. Changing the whole complexion of which direction it can go. So I would recommend everybody take a look at it, at least review the outline of it, because it's going to have an effect on us as we move forward. We're not going to be working in masses. So you need to know what's coming at you from the legislative side of the house. So that could change everything. By the way, I think it's a good strategic plan, it's a good story. Just be aware that this is coming at us and it's definitely going to affect us, so we need to be prepared to address that at a time.
Thank you. And they do that in re-appreciation of that I'm sorry. To that end, we had a presentation at our county planning board meeting on the increase of the new state plan. And I was encouraged by much of what I heard. What was outstanding were taking the pro-growth, pro-economic development, pro-job growth, look at this, not just how we tell people to business and no. To that end, perhaps this council should consider reviewing the regional master plan. I think we're going to have to redo the whole darn thing. That plan was written at a time where the bulldozers were rolling across the state, and that's just not the reality we're going to face in the next decade. And perhaps we need to reconsider all of those criteria that mandates regulations. And fact that they may postpone the conformance of municipalities is not a bad thing. You know, we're having them conform to a plan that was written under very real economic circumstances. And it might behoove us to stop and renew the whole thing. It's a very real, it's a very different future we're facing than what we thought just 7 years ago when the thing was passed. Furthermore, we had this one sentence was a report from my 15th about the GDR programs and looking at
I'm sorry, your name.
And I read it, it was by some of what I read. Given that TDR is the only real tool that this council has to make homeowners or landowners whole, for values undertaken by the Act, that's something that we need to look at. I know that we did a road show, this one staff that came to our town on first pass about the, all the benefits of applying. Perhaps we need to do a road show to the municipalities that are not in the planning preservation area, that are in those counties, about the benefits of becoming receiving of municipalities. That we can have a GDR program that is thriving. I have my doubts about the success of the GDR program. But if it is succeed, let's go out there and try to sell it aggressively. And that's the only means we have of making these folks whole. And we ought to be doing our business to sell it. And perhaps spending a little less time with clients, a little more time on trying to make that into the market work would also be good for the council. So those are two things that I'd like to see us do over the next 12 months while we're participating in all these performance plans.
I just want to comment that this was not a plan to stop those. This was a plan to protect water. And the legislature passed the Highlands Act to protect more than 50% of the people of the state's water supply. So the provisions that were valid then are valid now, and that is the truth about what's on the ground, what our resources are, how much is available, how we can have sustainable growth. Not growth for the sake of growth. So I think that in terms of our economic climate, the economic climate at this time is not the point here. The point is to protect water supply and plan sustainable growth. And I think very important for us to move ahead with our conformance activities because we are on a path that we have invested years in based on a valid plan on data that was developed for that plan. So there's nothing faulty about the premises. The premises are the same today as they were then. And now we need to move forward, continue as we're doing, and to suggest that we would put off conformance in order to be able to somehow revisit the plan in the middle of implementation is backwards thinking, in my opinion. And also, I think it's really important for us to realize that we are already on a planning schedule. We are supposed to take this as a plan according to the regional master plan on a schedule. And why we would upset that schedule and send extra resources and money now to redo what we already have in place is beyond me. So if we want to be responsible, if we want to be economically efficient, we need to move ahead with what we're doing now and not stop in the middle of it and start reviewing it.
And respectfully, I think you and I have a fundamental disagreement about the real intention of the Act. That's why we're entitled to our opinion. And I would contend that the man who's traveling down the wrong road turns around and goes back that the one is really making progress. And whereas there has been a significant change in this country and this world, there's an economic collapse. And if we think that that doesn't impact what we do here in Chester, I think that's not being realistic.
Yeah, just a quick little clarity to this issue. For those of you who weren't here many years ago, I voted no for the master plan. And one of the reasons I voted no was because there was a requirement in the Act that when the master plan would be passed, that it would include a resource assessment which determines the amount and type of human development and activity which the ecosystem of the Highlands region can sustain while still maintaining the overall ecological value thereof. I don't believe to date we have yet determined the amount and type of human development that the Highlands region can hold. And so, Tracy, as you discussed the fact that we're going to be coming up on a timetable for another look at the master plan, we're several years into this, and we still still haven't done the resource assessment to determine how many people should and can properly live in Highland Street while maintaining the overall ecological value. And further, it also required us, number two, to have an assessment of the financial component, along with the cash flow tie table, including the details of implementing the regional master plan. We have never done the tie table. We don't know what it's causing us to implement the regional master plan. We don't know what it's costing the region to implement the master plan. This is all unfinished work from the first time. We're years into the process, we've never got back to take care of the details that were supposed to be in the master plan.
Thank you. The matter on the agenda before you is the public hearing and consideration of the resolution of the petition for plan conformance from Mount Arlington. I would like to recognize Mayor Arnold from Mount Arlington, who is with us in the audience representing his municipality. And the staff member from the Highlands Council, who is the liaison and has done the work to bring the petition, Chris Roth. She is, luckily for Chris, on vacation. I would like to thank Terry, who's been taking care of it in the meantime. Terry's here. So with that, I'll go into Mount Arlington. You can see here some pictures of the municipality you're considering today, their memorial park and the lake that I think everybody well knows in Mount Arlington as well as the municipality. And the municipal building affair as well. Some statistics on Mount Arlington incorporated in 1890. It is a small municipality of 2.8 square miles, but as you'll see when we go through other municipalities, they have a dense population for the Highlands region of over 5,700 people in that 2.8 square mile area. The photo here, currently most interested in, is the relatively new train station in Mount Arlington, which Kurt attended, representing the Highlands Council at the opening of that train station, I think about 2 years ago, Kurt. Okay, I'm old. Thank you. Moving on to my age, the planning area is about 93% of the municipality, and the petition today is for the preservation area land. There's only 7% of the municipality, but importantly they are coming in today, and even within that 7% we've been working for some time with the municipality on lands in there, and I'll get into that in a few moments. This is a look back in time. This is in 1930. I draw your attention to the forested areas down here in Mount Arlington and up here. I think it's fairly normal when we see lake communities see that increased type development that happened over time, so you see it all the way down to here. So it gives you a view of Mount Arlington today. In terms of background land statistics, land use, we see about the developed land about 46% and natural land 54% approximately, but noting that water is included, the lake there in that figure. So the petition is for, as I said, 7% of the municipality, which is only 132 acres. The majority of that, those preservation area lands, are already developed or owned and preserved by the borough. They consist of municipal open space, a former landfill, and that is what we have been working on with the municipality on, that former landfill. It is an area where they're looking at potential and studying it with funding from the Highlands Council for parking, which would potentially alleviate some parking around the lake and make that area more protected in terms of visual impact, etc. They're also studying the potential to have solar development there as well, such that it would be green development and the parking on a former landfill site. So the remainder of the land in the preservation area is an existing public school and developed residential properties, which of course are likely to be exempt from the Highlands Act. And only about 12 acres remaining of developable land, which is divided amongst six parcels, the largest of which is only a little over 5 acres in size. So you can see that it's very limited area here. Here is the preservation area of Mount Arlington. Here you can see that landfill site. And then when I show you it in terms of here, you have the preserved landfill in green, and this entire area here is the landfill. The landfill is this portion of it here. Some of it is forested land, which under the redevelopment planning that we do, the forested land would be protected, and we've been working with Mount Arlington on that. In terms of their petition, they are consistent with all elements except for Module 6, which is the Land Use Ordinance. Having explained to you the very limited area in the preservation area, we didn't want to have an ordinance that was very cumbersome for that amount of land and for limited applicability. So they have a waiver, is what staff are recommending, for Module 6, the Highlands Land Use Ordinance. And what would happen is the any land that would go through would go through a Highlands Preservation Area Checklist Ordinance. Thus, they would come through the Highlands Council, and most likely, because they're in the preservation area, would either be exempt or require a Highlands Preservation Area approval. So everything will be done consistent with the statute, but in a way that is more manageable for the municipality. It limits their expense and, in fact, the state's expense. The public comments on this petition opened October 28th, closed November 14th, and we received comments on behalf of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition from Erica Van Auken. She supported the petition, appreciated the borough's initiative to implement a green building and sustainability alternative energy plan, something that the mayor has been extremely interested in. So the council staff recommendation to the Highlands Council is approval with the normal conditions applied. Here we list the major ones. Things like that checklist ordinance, which of course is critical because it's the waiver for the land use ordinance in this case. And the other elements that you see here, in particular, I just mentioned the green building and environmental sustainability master plan element, and of course the continuing sustainable economic development plan, which includes that potential redevelopment area for the landfill site. And that completes our presentation on Mount Arlington Borough's petition.
The mayor is here, Mayor Oddish. Do you have anything you would like to say?
Yeah. God bless you all for all you do. I wouldn't want to be in any one of your seats because this is definitely a challenge. But I have to tell you, Eileen has been absolutely fantastic to work with. The staff has been great. Unfortunately, I can't build that nuclear power plant that I wanted to build up on the old landfill site, but, you know, life goes on. No, it's really been a pleasure. It hasn't been a heavy lift. Obviously, the topography in the area that is in the preservation area isn't that developable. There are some areas where with potential. There is a potential in that area where there could be some small development, but I don't foresee it at all because we have preserved most of it already. We're pretty much built out. We have one more. We're actually currently in the process of a payment with a tax of a redevelopment project in place of already approved office buildings. So, but that land was already considered, and that's not in the preservation area, obviously, it's in the planning area. But in this preservation area, it would be great to be able to do something green, either solar, or we could talk about a long-term parking storage facility for boats and trailers because we are a lake community. We just changed our ordinances in town just to try to clean up some of the boats that were sitting there with grass growing in them because, you know, it's just the way it is, you know. A lot of people don't look at it as the value of cleaning up your property for the value of your neighbor's properties and everything else. So we're in the process of doing that, so this might be a good place for this to happen. I don't know if it's going to or not. We've talked to the county about their solar program to possibly work with them for this solar project, as well as the county park across the street. The county park might be interested in some of the parking as well, because they always need space. So it's a good project for this area, and I think it's been great, and we appreciate the planning ability provided through the Highlands Council. I'm sure there are some out there that have their issues with the Highlands Council, but I personally have not. It's been great. It's really been a great opportunity to work together with everybody. And there are a lot of new faces here since last I was here, and I welcome you all onto this council, and I applaud you for your time and your energy spent here, because it is all good. the two of you definitely don't disagree. I mean, don't agree, because you know why you both have that point. So these are all things that I'm sure you'll hash out. I think the economy does need to be taken into consideration, because there are some areas where there could be some growth. But I'll tell you, that's something that can be worked out. And I mean, this is fantastic. You know, the attitude here that I've found is, how can we make it work, rather than, no, you can't do it. And what more can you ask from that? I mean, that is a great way to be. I mean, you know, if something can happen by just being open-minded and looking at what can be, that's great, rather than just no, and you get turned away. I've never had that experience here. It's always been great. Right from the beginning, actually, we've had good experiences. So, appreciate you considering this. I hope that you will approve it. And we're looking at the planning area. We're not sure yet what we're going to do there, but we're certainly open-minded. We're not close-minded to doing what we would need to do to conform, but really we're pretty much built out, like I said, so I don't see much more growth than that on me, which I'm kind of glad about that, because we have preserved a lot. Matter of fact, Mount Arlington at one time had the most preserved land in Morris County, going back a number of years. Obviously, a lot has changed in the county. Things change. But it's good. It's good to have that land. And it's nice to have those trees and those woods to be able to go walking and people to enjoy. And obviously protecting the water. One of the things I had a problem with was when the Highlands Act was passed, we were looking to put in sewers in an area that was going to protect the water going into Lake Compacton. And all of a sudden that became a big problem. It cost us probably $150,000 extra to get the project done. But it is done in the lake is protected. So I'm real happy about that. And the state was, a lot of changes, but it's all good. We're all moving forward, and I think it's all positive. So thank you for hearing this application. I hope you will consider it.
Thank you for your
time.
Anybody in the public wish to be heard on this application?
Oh, come on.
Sorry.
Erica Van Ocken from the New Jersey Highways Coalition. I just wanted to reiterate our support and again encourage the township to consider conforming to the planning area. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Seeing none, close the public portion. Entertain a motion.
I will. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olmstead?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. You'll be in the picture too. Forgive me for having this step out, but I wanted to do it.
No, you definitely understood that point.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.
All right. Next up is public hearing and consideration of resolution petition for plan conformance submitted by the Township of Washington, Warren County.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the audience, we have Mayor Elvis Cooney from Washington Township, and with him are his planner, Scarlett Doyle, and municipal engineer, Bill Gleba, both with us, and the Highlands Council chairperson, Terry Venskiller. Terry has been working with this municipality and managing all the elements of plan conformance for the council. Terry, you can sit away. So good to see Terry. Thank you. Okay, moving forward into Washington Township, here we have a look, and we'll be talking about Fort Colden to in this petition, you see it on the left of the picture there, picture from Port Colden, the municipal building up on the top right there, and water again, why we're here to protect the resource. In terms of the background in Washington Township, here we see a municipality much larger than what we just considered. This one's 18 square miles with a population of 6,651 people as of the 2010 census data. You will be seeing a lot of preserved lands in Washington Township. They have done a lot of work in the past in preserving their municipality. The planning area of this municipality is 69%, the preservation area 31%. This petition is for both planning and preservation area land. You can see here the conservation zone, there's agricultural land, a lot of agricultural land in Washington Township, about 41%, protection zone about 35%, and the existing community where you have that developed pattern, 20%. Here I look back in time, you can see 1930, you see the band of agricultural lands here and up on the northern side, Washington Borough in the center of the township. Fast forward to 2007 and you see the network of roads here, and this is Route 31 here, and the development that has occurred around those roads. But again, still a lot of agricultural lands here and up here, and you will see later the preserved lands too. In terms of background statistics of land use, it's developed lands about 60%, but agricultural lands are calculated in the land use land covered by DEP. So you can see that the agricultural lands are about 30% of that municipality. It makes a big difference. The natural lands are about just under 40%. Here you see the ordinance map. As is customary, the maps for the municipalities are on the walls here behind council members. So you see Washington Borough here, and it's a little clearer in terms of that with the area of front of that. You see existing community up here around the borough and down here off Route 31. This is a very important slide, and this will be critical in terms of our future work with the municipality. Here you see where you have in blue public community water systems, in brown just a little bit down here, and in fact here, very difficult to see, but where the arrow is, we have domestic sewage facilities, and where you see the purple color, you have phones available. And this is an issue where we'll be doing some ongoing work with the municipality and looking at what the future development potential is in terms of looking at infrastructure, particularly wastewater. This next slide shows you streams and the watershed and the watershed values. Here you have high value in this color and moderate value down here. This shows you steep slopes. You see them here again. These are the ordinance maps. Now this, it's always important to include historical sites, but you can see an accumulation here of historic sites, and this is the Port Colden area that we'll be speaking about in terms of our future work with the municipalities. Here is what I told you about looking at the preserved lands in Washington Township. You can see that the township have done tremendous work in terms of preservation, and we've been out to the township a couple of times to do presentations and met with council members and spoken with them about their past work in this area. I want to just as well really, in terms of the mayor being here today, to sort of reaffirm the voluntary nature of conformance to the planning area and the fact that what the mayor has wanted to do is study these implications and study the feasibility for the future before they make that decision in terms of that planning area petition ordinance. In terms of their petition, they are consistent with the regional master plan in all of the seven modules, but I would draw your attention to module 5, the Highlands element, and the petition, if granted today, would include funding to study conceptual centres in the municipality. So those centres, we've worked with Washington Township officials. They have come to many meetings here at the Highlands Council, the mayor, and in particular another member of his council. and their professionals, Scarlett and Bill, have come many times, and they're focusing on three areas. The historic Port Colden area, Washington on the South 31 corridor as you lead into Washington Borough, and the Brass Castle area. The feasibility study grant is recommended to examine infrastructure availability to see what the potential is, specifically wastewater, what the redevelopment opportunities are, and the potential for transfer of development rights, as you did see on the slide, a large tract of remaining agricultural land, and then, of course, resource protection. These are the three conceptual areas where they want to study the potential for future development and infill development. Historic Port Colden, very similar to the work the council did with Washington Township in Morris County, where you looked at Schoolies Mountain and the historic area there. There may be opportunities for adaptive reuse, there may be opportunities for infill, but until you grapple with the capacity issues, you don't get the answers to the questions. Likewise, over here in this area where there's development, again, this is these looking at major arteries. Here you have Route 57, and the final one here is Route 31. And for those of you who drive this, you know that there's a lot of commercial development along here. And this is where I pointed out that small sewer facility, which is where they're looking to study the feasibility of sewering more properties using that particular facility and potentially expanding it. This is the only one of the towns where we're going to do a flyover, just to give you a better idea of those centers and a visual at home. Here we go. So you can see the township there and the borough in the center. And the three conceptual centers have been locked into this by our GIS unit. We're going to fly up or simulate flying up Route 31 there so that you can see the center we were talking about on Route 31. This area in here, and the municipality wants to study the potential for infrastructure capacity to look at infill development in particular in this area. Here is the Brass Castle area along Route 57. Again, the borders here are entirely conceptual until we have a better study and it comes back to the council. And of course, it provides that information to the municipality on what the potential is. Going over Lake Marguerite there and circling back over. And you'll see the final center, which is that Port Colden, again, conceptual Port Colden historic area here. But it is only when the municipality, and again, you can see the agricultural land all down here and over here as well. Again, much of them preserved by the municipality. But it is only when they have the information on the capacity issues and the potential for capacity that they will have the answers as to the feasibility of these particular centers. And finally, one thing I do want to bring to your attention, regional master plan updates. Regional master plan updates are factual updates to mapping. This is a particularly rare one. It was brought to our attention by the engineer, who pointed out that if you follow the language of the Highlands Act in terms of the division between the preservation area and the planning area, the mapping differs from the language of the Act, and the mapping must correlate and follow the Act. This particular line was supposed to come down here by the creek and follow the west side of this block and lot, and erroneously is on the east side. We have shared this information with the Department of Environmental Protection, and the mapping will be changed to reflect the accurate mapping, which is consistent with the narrative in the Highlands Act. And we thank the engineer for pointing that out to us. Public comments on this petition opened November 7th, closed November 21st. We received comments from Helen Heinrich on behalf of the Farm Bureau, supporting right to farm and agricultural retention planning for the municipality, which is part of the grant, as well as the potential PDR receiving zones for the conceptual Highlands Centre. Dave Piper from Amgex, supporting the petition, expressing some concerns regarding the congestion of Highland Center. I remind the council that they are to be studied to see what the feasibility is. Erica Van Wilson from New Jersey Highlands Coalition, supporting the petition, praising the municipality for conformance in both preservation and planning area. Again, expressing some concerns for those conceptual Highland Center designations. Richard Cotton from the Hawks Point Golf Club, stating in his comments that that community, community of Hawks Point Golf Club, is supportive of those of the conceptual Highland Center for Washington South, that is on Route 31. Carl Biscayer asked for clarification. This was a jurisdictional clarification on affordable housing sites. And we did clarify the jurisdiction for those sites remains with DCA. So that answers that question fully. And finally, comments in support of the conceptual centres were received from residents and business owners, including future business owners, of Washington Township. Alan and Patricia Loucher, Michael Hoserall, Bryce Cotton, and Monica Green. The recommendation from the staff is approval of Washington Township's petition to county performance with the normal conditions we've listed here, the major conditions, obviously the feasible study of the conceptual Highland Centre, and you can see some resource protection planning and agricultural attention planning. And that leads you to the council deliberation on the petition.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. Mayor, did you have anything to add?
Good evening, everybody. First, I just really want to thank Eileen Swan and her team. They really did a great job. I was personally against the Highlands Act to begin with because I felt it was unjust. And I feel like we're coming a long way. We have some members that are actually understanding how to work with municipalities. And we're trying to maximize the potential for our municipality under the current law. And we're hoping, I know this is out of this place, but we're hoping that the landowners that have been affected by this eventually will get their compensation for their property, which is, again, a different one. But I appreciate the opportunity to allow us to get educated about our municipality and the resources that we have available in our municipality. So, the way we sat together in numerous meetings for us to be able to make the right decisions for our town as you see. We have 18 square miles, so we have a very, very large parcel, and we're also in an area where I think it would be beneficial for the Highlands to put on their dart map, if you will, because where we're located. And the sensitivity of the issue, we obviously had some opposition along the way for us to be here, but I believe it's the right thing to do for our residents, and that's why I'm here supporting this project. And we're very fortunate because way before the Highlands, our municipality has always taken the right steps to preserve land, preserve water, and also to build with moderation. We have a very sound plan going forward. And this is only going to help us improve it and make it even better for us. We have some great developers. Probably some of you have heard of the Hawk Point Village. Probably one of the finest in the state. We just had the solar system there. We have sewer system. We have water system. And it's probably one of the only municipality, one of the few ones, areas that actually is self-contained. So, we're constantly working with the right individuals that are coming in and investing in our town. So I appreciate all your time. And I know this is not the finest job in the world, but I appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard on this application? Okay.
Good evening. Monique Purcell, Department of Agriculture. We fully support this petition. Obviously, we support the idea of looking at conceptual centers, TDR, and site farms. I only have one request, and that is the land use ordinance does refer to the town's right to farm ordinance, and I was wondering if it's possible to have that document available as well. It might be on the website. I didn't see it, but it's something like if some of the Highlands R&T documents refer to something else, it would be great if that could be post on the web as well, so let me take a look at that and see what that looks like. That'd be helpful. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to hear? Yes, sir.
My name is Dave Shope. I'm a landowner in Clarkson County. This application is conceptually better than any other that I've heard for towns that are opting into the planning area. However, I did not see a mechanism for transferring TDRs even within the town from the affected landowners who, by virtue of being put in the planning area and now under the Highlands Master Plan, will lose almost as much as the people who are in the preservation area. So it would be a good thing to do to explore the possibilities and come up with a TDR plan for increased density in the conceptual town centers so that those people who have been affected negatively by this act get a shot at compensation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anybody else in the public wish to hear?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Richard Cotton. I am the developer of Hawk Point Golf Course. Hawk Point
Community. I'm wondering if they have those nice words.
I'm wondering if the mayor, if it's too late to file a tax appeal. First of all, I'd like to thank the council and the staff as well. And I come from a unique perspective. In the early 90s, I was appointed to the original Highlands Council, where we would meet in Ringwood. And it was quite a travel and quite a trip. I'm a third generation from a small municipality. I was born in the township of Washington. My grandfather built there. My father lived there and raised our family. I'm incredibly involved in our community. I've been involved in the ag community my entire life. I still actively farm. I own about 600 acres. 500, over 500 of that is in preservation. I was the first application in both Warren County and in our township in Bethlehem for our farmland preservation program. I'm the founder of the Watershed, Mustang County Watershed, and have been active in the last probably 16, 17 years in our watershed. The Highlands work, and I applaud the staff and Eileen and Tom for the journey that they go on. And I sometimes sit in that same position where during the environmental work and preservation, I've also been active in over 4,000 acres of preservation between Warren, Hunterdon, and Morris County over the last 20 years. My commitment to the community is long. I've done it in the past, and I would absolutely love to host, whether it's appropriate or not, a summit out at Hawk Point. Just because of the initiative that we've done there over the last 14 years are really the blueprint of what I feel and many other people feel are the working ideas of the Highlands in a compromise. We can compensate owners, and Mr. Shoup, we've gone through this. In the 1980s, I spent a lot of time in South Jersey and Burlington County, where the original Highlands, or the original TDR program was worked by Chuck Gallagher then, and old Commissioner Robert Shin, who was a freeholder down in Burlington County. So my understanding and interest and involvement in the project goes deep and long. And when we talk about wastewater and infrastructure, our plant really is a model. It's a biological water treatment facility that recycles the water, enables us to recycle everything with groundwater discharge as opposed to a surface water discharge. And when we look at our municipality, I applaud the mayor and the council for giving us support to kind of push the boundaries and go out a little bit on the edge. We utilize technology. We're the first golf course in the country to get all of our power from alternative wastewater. We're kind of a leader in that end. We constantly look at our water treatment facility on how to harvest energy. We look at biofuels from that. We incorporate local businesses, local jobs, and everything that we do in the building and the community. And if you digest those hundreds of pages of the Highlands and get through the regulations, you know, it takes vision and it takes courage to go forward and try to make something happen. And politically, I understand it is a huge risk when you do that. We're in the risk-taking business. And although the economy is tough, and what's really been comforting to me is in today's awareness about the environment and what happens, there are people, and they've been coined now as enviropreneurs, entrepreneurs that want to take risk in businesses to make things better in the community and make sure that the environment is taken care of, and is a key part of that. When I bought the property in 1996, this site was the second affordable housing lawsuit that was litigated in New Jersey and was scheduled for almost 1,000 homes in our municipality. It's a little bit before the current mayor's term, but everybody recognizes we had a huge potential impact that we got to turn into a benefit. We've created hundreds of jobs for the community. It's close to $100,000 or $100 million rateable for the municipality. The taxes that are generated and the ecotourism and what's happened is exciting and tremendous. And we were on the verge of a disaster in the late 90s of what was going to happen with that piece of property. And through the dialogue and the guidance of the ideas of the Highlands Master Plan, and prior to that, the State Development and Redevelopment Plan, we were able to work with not only the community and the neighbors to kind of look at a plan that would benefit everybody. And since that time, it's survived not only economically and environmentally, we feel like the future for us to tie in regional agriculture with restaurants, with food, with the jobs. We're there every day working on those ideas and concepts and connected to the ag community. So I offer the invitation if we can do that. We'd love to host the council to come out, maybe go on a road trip, because I think it's important. I've been advocating for 20 years to build a model that we can look at and see and express and understand the energy, the green building, and all the things that are going on. And if it would be helpful, we'd be happy to host that. But I do think it's important to build a model that we can work from and address the landowner issues, which are very critical to me as well, the environmental issues, and make that balance. And we don't have it perfect. There's a lot of work to do, but I think we really have an opportunity to go to the next level, and we look forward to working with the Highlands. We're looking forward to working with the municipality to try to make it, you know, a true working model within the Highlands. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this?
Thank you. Again, Erica Van Auken from the New Jersey Highway Coalition, and we support this project petition. I have prepared comments to express our serious concerns regarding the central designation. However, we are eager to see what the results of the feasibility study will yield, and we are waiting to be reassured that the township's natural resources will be fully protected. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public?
Wilma Salari, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I am pleased that the township is considered to perform both the planning and the preservation area. I also I look forward to the results of the study on the proposed centers. Just kind of looking at them, they kind of look like maybe small, and that the real center is Washington Borough. But certainly they're along Route 31, where there is a lot of development already. I would say there's certainly a potential in that area. On Route 57, I would remind the council that there's a study done a couple years ago of the Route 57, I think it's called the Scenic Byway Corridor. I can't remember the precise name, but the municipal officials and citizens were brought together by, I think it was the Department of Transportation, to do like a scenic byway plan for Route 57 to get state designation. And both the Port Colden area and the Brassville area are in that plan. I think the Fort Colden area was really featured as a historic resource that would be desirable to be preserved. But that whole corridor has great potential for, agriculture, scenic resources, particularly a lot of historic resources. And so I think that in the planning for that, one needs to be very sensitive to that. In potentially proposing any new development in that area. Thank you.
Anybody else with a public wish to be heard? Seeing none, I will entertain a motion.
I'll move.
Second. We have a motion and a second discussion. When you talk about the application, talk about the Highland Center designation plan, and the Festival Center, and it mentions the CDR initiative, does that mean that redevelopment area that you're receiving from? Is that what the CDR initiative means?
That's what it really means. So basically, they have to understand what the infrastructure capacity is in order to understand what kind of receiving can occur.
Okay. If it's a center, then I can assume it'll be either through redevelopment or however it'll be a growth area.
If there's a potential to increase the existing zoning density in order to be a receiving area, yes, that is the intention.
If it is a conceptual center and it looks like it's really going to be centered,
it would be a receiving zone.
Okay.
That's
all I wanted to know.
Yes.
Any other comments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to say that these plans and the feasibility studies that are going to be done are going to be very important in terms of figuring out how this is going to develop in terms of these areas for growth. The wastewater management plan in particular, and also it's good to see the water use and conservation management plan and the habitat conservation management plan, and of course the agricultural protection plan, which is really important for this area. So I think, really doing that work is going to be the key that will help us figure out whether center designation is going to work or not, particularly the wastewater management plan. So I think it's
About 59% in the planning area, 41% in the preservation area. The petition is for preservation area only land. You can see the division here. About 51%, a little over half, is in the protection zone, and a large area again in 43% in the conservation zone, primarily agricultural use on those lands, and the existing community a smaller portion. A look back in time, Alan, between 1930, so you can see forested land and agricultural land, and then as the network of roads comes through, particularly 78 across it, you have the development that occurred over time. In terms of the land use land cover statistics, developed land is only about 28%, of which 17% is agricultural land. And the natural land, again, very different from the other municipalities, we have 72%, a lot of forested land here. Here you can see the preservation area, it's divided into two areas. You can see the forested nature over here and over here, and then the rest of the municipalities. These, again, are the ordnance maps, so that is why you can see the preservation area is clearly, because that's what they are conforming for. Here again, a clearer look at those land use capability zones. Here you see the watershed areas and the streams, so you can see the good crossing of streams throughout the municipality. And here you can see the steep slope, in particular down here in the part of the municipality. Here you see infrastructure, and this is a clear, you know, indication of, again, the division between planning and preservation areas. This area here, most of you will know as Panther Valley in the area here. This shows you the preserved land, so an awful lot of the preservation area is already preserved land. Gives you an idea of that, and then the high and moderate preservation priorities for agriculture. Here you see the modules for the steps towards the petition for conformance, and they are consistent with all of the different elements with no specific issues. I do want to point out, in terms of regional master plan updates that I mentioned on the last petition where you saw that preservation area line, which is actually quite frankly very rare. In this case, just because this has been an issue that has been brought to our attention in the past and council members have asked about it, there were updates requested for already developed areas within Alamuchi, and the information was given to the council, and some updates did occur which actually made the land use capability zones change within the municipality, and I did give you information on that. But I want to draw your attention to that of the public, that that opportunity for getting those updates when the information comes in, that is absolute correction to our information. So we did receive updated information, and updates were made to Alamuchi's petition. Public comments opened November 14th through November 28th. We received comments from Helen Heinrich, from the New Jersey Farm Bureau, supporting the funding for the agricultural retention plan for the entire municipality, which is indeed what the funding is for, the entire municipality, and also raising concern about specific rights to farm language. We do in our ordinance make it clear that the right to farm has precedence, but we look forward to continuing to work with the documents you would be approving if you approve this petition are in draft form, and we will work with the Department of Agriculture, with all our municipalities, to make sure that that is understood clearly and that they are consistent with right to farm. We also have spoken with Helen and the New Jersey Farm Bureau just today to set up a meeting after our January meeting, because there are a number of issues really where we need to continue to work with the Farm Bureau and, of course, the Department of Ag. Erica Van Auken from the Highlands Coalition supported the petition and in particular funding for stream restoration planning, which again will be for the entire municipality, with a focus though on areas that are most needing that kind of work. And the coalition recommends conforming for this planning area as well. As usual, we approve with conditions. The conditions are laid out here in front of the agricultural retention as an example, and the stream corridor protection restoration plan. That completes the petition for conformance presentation for Alamuchi Township.
There's nobody from the municipality who's up to the public at this point in time. If anybody wishes to be heard on this, please raise your hand.
Sorry? I didn't want to lie on the record. We support this petition, and again, we would encourage them to consider conforming their planning area as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Helen Heinrich, from New Jersey Farm Bureau, and I appreciate very much that we're going to look further into this language about what the land use ordinance says that agricultural development can be, and whether it conforms to the Right to Farm Act. And this particular petition had more specifics in it that really conflicted with the Right to Farm Act than any other one I've reviewed. So that's why we take this very seriously. And the number one threat to New Jersey agriculture, research shows, is what towns can use their planning and zoning powers and ordinances to do to farms. Farm Bureau just had its annual meeting, and once again, the number one issue that they voted at the end of the meeting was Right to Farm. So this is why they want me to look so carefully at all these petitions, because it's going to be at the municipal level that it's decided whether all the promise and things that are in the RMT to support agriculture are actually going to happen. So that's why we look at this very carefully, and I take up your time with it every time, because it's so important. And so it sounds like in January we'll get a chance to look into this further and hopefully make it clearer that this is an area that the plans have to be good and the conformance to what they can do in the future is so important.
The documents are in draft form yet, at this moment in time. The Highlands Area Land Use Ordinance includes a specific statement in respect to the Right to Farm Act, which indicates that it supersedes the local regulations as applicable. So we've made it clear that they cannot be inconsistent with Right to Farm. Is there some future work to do with LMG in this? Yes. We're aware of it. The Department of Ag is aware of it. Monique has agreed that we could have a meeting and bring Monique to work with us and the municipality to address this issue. But we haven't been able to address them today.
So we're being asked today to pass a petition that is in conflict with our master plan and the
No, the ordinance specifically mandates that the master plan does. The Right to Farm Act supersedes. So I think it's simply a matter of needing to go over the details of the ordinance and to rectify the potential language changes. But what's before you is an ordinance that's consistent with the Right to Farm Act.
It still has a language in it, though, that suggests that roadside stands can only be 150 square feet and only sell what they grow on the premises or in the townships, things like this that are clearly in the non-conformity of the Right to Farm Act. That the problem in all of these is that yes, there is that statement, but there's also a statement that egg development shall consist of this and this and this, that when you compare it to the Right to Farm Act, it simply doesn't conform. So I think that instead of setting up a conflict situation, you should figure out some language that takes conflict away, and more language about this being decided in the development of the Ag Extension Act.
So the local ordinance is that different with the Right to Farm Act, the Right to Farm Act supersedes.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what that is.
But there's a requirement in the law, you know, as a plan that
be compliant with the Right to Farm Act. I don't understand how we can approve this application today if we know that there are elements that are not in compliance. We do not know that. Our ordinance specifically incorporates the superseding authority of the Right to Farm Act. I think this comes down to an issue of non-commercial farms, which are not covered by the Right to Farm Act, and land use ordinance provisions relating to that. So we do not see a conflict. We do see a need to discuss it
to address it with Department of Ag, the EPA, and the Farm Bureau. It is not in conflict with your plan.
I would feel comfortable. I didn't find length. I spent a good amount of time with you. I went on our website. I couldn't find. I really dug into this. I could find where it said that initially, the initial review, there were concerns by our staff about the lack of consistency with Right to Farm and that they had to address it. But I've not been able to find the land use, the highland land use ordinance anywhere, nor how the town addressed it. And I might not be looking in the right places. I know that there's a link just before these things being posted. I couldn't find the township's right to farm ordinance. I couldn't find specifically where they're, how they addressed the non-compliance to get to the point where our staff is recommending it to the EPA today. And I hear you saying, well, yeah, they're okay. And yeah, Helen's saying, well, it's not quite okay. And I'm not able to find any documentation to draw my own conclusion. That's what making a difference. Just the notion that, you know, the fundamental basis of the Right to Farm Act is the definition of commercial farm. And commercial farm is defined as a non-contiguous part under common operation of management. And it does, it's not defined by potential boundaries. So if this town is saying, if you've got a farm that straddles the Salawuchi and Green Counties, for instance, you can only grow what's grown on, you can only sell what's grown on the Alabuchi side of the field in Alabuchi, but when you grow on the Green Township side, you can't sell it in the farm stand on the Alabuchi side. We shouldn't be approving this today. I mean, that's a direct conflict with the right form. And it's a fundamental conflict. I mean, it's not even high solution. This is something that the SADC would say, we need to really research this to come up with an accepted agricultural management practice. They would say, it's not even a waste of our time. This is so fundamental. It's like Henry Ford saying, you want to call your kid a black. So how do we act on this today?
Well, I would say the ordinance specifically mandates that the right to farm ordinance supersede the old ordinances. That condition is in your approval.
Okay. If I heard you correctly, I don't think you objected obviously, but you felt that there was more work that needed to be done.
Right.
Am I going to take it?
Well, I don't know if it's clear where we are. Isn't the town supposed to be in close frames for us to say yes, or they need to have demonstrated that they are going to address something specifically? I mean, I saw that they had passed an ordinance several months ago, right? They passed.
No.
Again, I've been searching through all these things. When a town comes to do this, they have represented that they have done everything to be in compliance.
They have not adopted any of the documents. None of these towns have their own draft because they are now required under the municipal land use law to go through a public process, which is why we anticipate before, and each one of the towns, before they do the adoption, sends the documents to us. Because what we don't want to happen is the changes to occur, them to adopt it, and then us to say this isn't in conformance. So the process we do is, right now, they have gone through the different modules. They then go out they go through their public process, they send the document to us. We will confirm at that point, and we will work with them, just as these towns, because changes may occur through that public process. We will work then at that point to make sure, and that's the point when we work with the Department of Ag as well, to make sure, and we've done this in case one case was really known, we sent it to her, had an issue with it, said, no, do not adopt this, it is not consistent. At that point, the town may adopt it. But if we say at this point, it is absolutely consistent, go ahead, they haven't gone through that public visioning process, and that's the municipal land use process. So we have to allow for changes, so we have to allow, that there's a point that when they go through that process, that we say, this is or not is, or is not consistent, and you may adopt or may not adopt. So that's the work that has to be done with this municipality, the same as every other municipality.
And everybody's going to come back and demonstrate how they've
They have to, yes.
And if they fail to be wise?
We did this with one town. We said to them they were about one municipality, one municipality had done this work, came to us and said that it's stopped, and we said no. We checked with them, we said, no, it's not consistent, so they have to go back to the drawing board. We worked with them, but we said to them, don't go into the public process until we've got you ready, and then we did it, and it was
be consistent.
I mean, is the fact that the municipality has to conform to the right form part of the conditions of the subdivision?
Absolutely, in the plan and in our land use.
So it's no different than any other condition that's set forth?
That is correct.
If they don't adhere to that, then there is no approval.
And they are not in conformance, that is correct.
What are the ramifications for not being?
If a municipality went ahead and this municipality went ahead and adopted an ordinance and we have said this is not in conformance, then you take an action on that and you that provision is in the act.
And more importantly, should a farmer go before the land use board and be denied for some rights of farm act, this council has the ability to call that application up and invalidate that denial or approval, whatever it may be.
What are the consequences in the town? Which means that they would be eligible for
the grant funding for all the conditions that we approve them with.
And they are no longer in conformance.
I hope that we can meet and make it clear to you and the staff and the town in the language that you can't put things like that in anywhere in the draft ordinance because it's so much in conflict. It's got to be looser or ambiguous language rather than just taking something out of the township's ordinance that probably won't stand up. You're setting up a difficult situation that hopefully we can alert them and smooth it away in the beginning. So let's get together after Christmas to see if we can work that out. Thank you.
Okay. Who created the draft plan? Was it our staff or was it Al?
We created our land before.
We created a model which the towns are allowed to edit accordingly, and then we review them.
So we submitted the model to them, and they edited it, or if I can see edits that are reviewed.
And they have to look at their existing ordinance.
So our response to the edits is, no, you're not compliant with these edits. You want in, you have to comply.
We've made it clear to them that they must comply with the Rights to Farm Act.
Okay. Anybody else in the public? Seeing none, we'll call for
motion?
Motion.
So second.
Motion second. Roll call.
Councilmember Austin.
Yes.
Councilmember Caruccio.
Yes.
Councilmember Dougherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressel.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Manducci.
Yes.
Councilmember Dizzioli.
Yes.
Right. Councilmember Richmond.
Yes.
Councilmember
Walton? Yes. Chairman Ryan? Yes. Richard? Yes. 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 Yes.
Next up, we have public hearing and consideration of resolution petition for plan conformance submitted by the Township of Bedminster, Somerset County.
Now that the council member Bob Holtway has left, I'd like to recognize Mayor Holtway, who's in our audience today, representing Bedminster. And I'd also like to recognize Judy Thornton. Judy is the Highland Council staff member that has been the liaison to Bedminster, and in fact is the lead on plant performance and land performance. With rep staff, I won't let us stand alone on that one, but we look forward to working, right, Judy? Moving into Bedminster here, we have a look at the very bucolic municipality of Bedminster Township. The background statistics on it incorporated back in 1798. This is a 26.4 square mile municipality.
of nearly 17,000 acres with a population of 8,165. And here you see one of the very many farms in Bedminster Township, also a municipality well known for their preservation efforts. You'll see some of that coming up. Planning area lands comprise 94% of the municipality and 6% of the preservation area lands. And the petition today before you is for the preservation area lands. We'll tell you that Bedminster worked with us very closely and took a good look at the regional master plan and the ordinances, because what they wanted to determine was, were they protective enough of their own municipality, because they certainly have a lot of very protective ordinances, such as, for example, the FAR, the floor area ratio, the natural resource constraints, all of which they take into consideration in their zoning. They also are recognized for the work they've done with the township. When we did our first municipal build-out, they helped us create the model. We had done a regional one for the plan to look at carrying capacity, but then we had to do them at a municipal level. And they were one of the first municipalities to do it with us. And in fact, assisted them up to getting the model run, because we actually credited after working with them. Conservation zone 70%, you can see a lot of agricultural land. Protection zone 18%, and their existing community truly is center-based development in Bedminster 7.5%. Look back in time, 1930, here you see Bedminster, and the changes that have occurred, again, with major, with Route 78 going across, because crossing of many roads, but still a number of large estates in Bedminster. Land use statistics, about 55% of the land under land use plan cover is considered developed, but look at 35% of that agricultural land, and then 44% natural land. These are the ordinance maps, and so up here in the northernmost part of the municipality, you can see the preservation area land. And if we look at the mapping, there it is clearly showing you protection zone, conservation zone, and a little bit of existing community zone there in the area of Pottersville. This is showing you the streams and the high-quality watershed in Bedminster Township, and in relief up here in the preservation area. This is an important one because it's showing you infrastructure. And you can see that as I talked about the central development, this is really where the developed area of Bedminster Township is, and that's where you see infrastructure in that planning area. Up here in the preservation area, you do not see infrastructure. This is a good look now at the preserved land, and it's both of large tracts of preserved land in the municipality, and you can see the brown, darker brown and the lighter brown are priority areas, and it's because of the very nature of these of the estates in Bedminster that they are high priorities for continued preservation work. Plants and Formants, they have gone through all of the different modules. They received, and one of the few towns received, substantive certification from Council of Affordable Housing back in 2009. They are consistent with all other elements of the modules for Conformance. Public comment period opened October 25th, closed November 8th. Received comments from Helen Heinrich from the New Jersey Farm Bureau, supporting the petition with an emphasis on the Agricultural Pension Farmland Preservation Plan, which of course is for the entire municipality. And Erica Van Orten from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition supporting the petition and resource planning. The recommendation of the staff is to approve Bedminster's petition plan conformance. And you can see there the major conditions listed, resource and economic planning, funding priorities for sustainable economic development planning, agricultural retention master plan elements, habitat conservation management plan, stream corridor protection and restoration plan as some of those conditions. And finishing here on Willow School, for those of you that know, this is a sustainable school within LEED certified within Bedminster Township, often looked at when people are looking at how to build green. They often visit the Willow School in Bedminster. And so now up to the Council for deliberation.
Mayor, Sheridan.
Good evening. Real quickly, again, every other mayor has complimented the staff. I compliment the staff. They did an excellent job with us. Bethesda has always considered itself one of the leaders in planning preservation. I mean, instead, we were concerned you guys worked on it coming along far enough. We have the only court to support a 10-acre zoning in New Jersey, and that's been established for a long time. So continue to go forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Did anybody in the public wish to be heard on this application? Please raise your hand.
From the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. We support this petition and we hope that Beth Mitchell will consider conforming a planning area in the future. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application? Seeing none, close the public portion. Can I get a motion?
Make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second. A motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilmember Olson.
Yes.
Councilmember Carlucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Dorsey. Yes. Councilmember Dress. Yes. Councilmember Francis. Yes. Councilmember Holtz. Councilmember Jane. Yes. Councilmember Van Gucci. Yes. Councilmember Vigil. Yes. Councilmember Richfield. Yes. Councilmember Wolf. Yes. Chairman Ross. Yes. Chairman, I know you'd like to have your picket taken with Mayor Holtzway. Next item up is public comment on any issue. Would anybody in the public wish to be heard speaking? Please raise your hand.
About the approval of the October 27th the Highlands Development Credit Package. Basically reversal of its prior position of rejecting two lots and lots. And then the last meeting approving it. Part of the law, which I did not write, that I cite, says that any application for purchase development rights that is rejected for any reason except lack of funds basically goes to the back of the line and you have to wait 2 years before you rehear it. So I'll give you a copy of that letter too. And I will also be contacting the governor's office and the state attorney general's office to ask them to see if my position is correct or not. I heard again today that it's all about water. It's just all about water. And I have right here an EPA report to review draft control and mitigation of drinking water losses and distribution systems. Right? That's not my well. That's the water that is collected up here and sold very often by the state, in the case of the New Jersey Water Supply Authority, to private water purveyors. And the EPA has listed several categories for states to act on when it comes to water loss policy. The first one has some sort of water loss policy statement. First category, 33 states, has formal definition of water loss. 15 states have a formal definition. Accounting and reporting, 20 states do. Has standards and benchmarks, 23 states. Sets goals and targets, 18 states. Has planning requirements, 24 states. Compilation of publication by jurisdiction, 9 states. Provides technical assistance, 18 states. Offers performance incentives, 11 states. Performs auditing and enforcement, 13 states. Of the states that I just read, and they're listed here, New Jersey appears in not one category. And that's because it's all about water. It's all about the collection of water. It's all about the demolition of property rights and doing it. And then when it's collected and sold, you don't care how much leaks. It's as simple as that. It's all about water. This is as hypocritical a statement as Senator Smith's statement promising compensation in his meeting in Greenwood. It's the same phony stuff. I will also leave with you, again for your perusal, statewide policy number one, equity, where it discusses exactly the issues that have been going on up here for 7 years with no resolution.
Okay, Mr. Joe. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. We have no objection, correct? Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.